right, so let's go ahead and get into the next passage. You can turn to Luke chapter 7, if you would. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. In step with Jesus. And to this evening, we're going to be looking at the raising of the widow's son at Nain. And you say, where is Nain? We're going to look at that here in just a moment. We're not going to do all our reviews this evening, but we are going to look and at least see the the proximity of where Nain was. There's still a current day Nain spelled a little bit differently, but we'll look at that here in just a moment. But let's look at Luke chapter 7, just following the centurion's servant that was healed that we looked at last week. And who remembers where that was at? What city was that? I'll give you a hint. It was North Galilee. It was on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, a town of Capernaum. Okay, Capernaum. And, of course, we get done with the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, which was probably a mount just northwest of Capernaum. And so we looked at that, probably there just in the low foothills. And then we looked at Capernaum not too far away. Here, let's come in here. I always like to do that. It's kind of fun. But I'm just kidding. I just want you to get the perspective. This is just a small space, a small place in all of the universe, for sure. That's kind of like why I like to, you know what? We think that we're so significant. You realize that we're just a speck of dust. And I'm talking about the earth. And if the earth is a speck of dust, then who am I? A little speck of dust that, you know, it seems seemingly insignificant, but I'll tell you, Jesus loves me and he loves you. And we know that because the Bible tells us so, right? And I'll tell you what, it's more than the Bible tells us so. He shows it all the time. God is so good to us, and he's with us all the time, and he is with us. So anyway, it's just one of the reasons why we zoom in and zoom out. But let's come into this little tiny place here that, again, maybe as far as the world concerned seems insignificant, but it's amazing. If this is insignificant, then I tell you what, much of the world revolves around this place, doesn't it? I mean, isn't there so much that goes on in the news, and so many things revolved around this tiny space? Let's get nice straight up north and south here. And so we're looking at this. We're not going to do all the reviews tonight. We're just going to come here in this area of Galilee. And we have Capernaum, which is right here in this area. Okay, probably right where the hand is. Let me point to it. Capernaum right in here. All of this area is Capernaum. And then we have what is at least celebrated today, and has been for a long time, a place where the mount was, where they claim that somewhere in this area Jesus went through the Sermon on the Mount, and right in here, of course, overlooking the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And so Capernaum there, very short distance, within walking distance right there. Of course, everything was walking and riding distance. They made it that way. That's the way it was. They didn't have anything more than that to use. Animals, of course. Anyway, here we are. So the Sermon on the Mount took place. And then right after that, we have chapter 7 in Luke. And that was one of the places. And we followed here the centurion sending his Jewish people to go and to ask the Lord's petition to come and heal the servant. And of course, the Lord was willing to do that, ever so happy to go and to help this centurion out. And of course, Jesus' response to this man is, I haven't seen such great faith even in all of Israel. And so God certainly blessed this man that had faith. We get done with that passage and we find ourselves in verse 11. And this is where, from verse 11 to 17, we find the next thing in which Jesus did. So let's go ahead and look at that, and then we'll come back to our map and look at where this place is. So let me go ahead and read it. We don't have any other parallel passages in any of the other synoptic gospels. So And let's go ahead and just look at what Luke has to say about this situation. And it came to pass, now follow the words that are being used here, and it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. Okay? And of course, then he ends with it. Verse 18, the disciples of John showed him of all these things. All right, so we go back to verse 11, and it came to pass the day after, right after this healing of the centurion's servant, that he went into a city called Nain. All right, so let's look back at this place called Nain. Some of you might have already looked in your maybe in your maps or atlases that you have. I'm going to go ahead and put two cities on here. I'm going to put Nazareth, and I'm also going to put Nain. Now, when I put Nain on here, I want you to understand that this is the current day Nain, spelled N-E-I-N. Let me come back out here. You can see in perspective where everything was. And now we come in a little bit closer. If you do some calculations of where the current day Nain is, you'll find that that must have been a trip for Jesus and this group of people to do. It's about 21 to 25 miles, depending on exactly where that was. Now you look at that and you scratch your head and you say, how did that happen in one day? How did he go that distance? And was it just Jesus that did this trip? What did the scripture say? It says much people. Who do we know was probably with him? His disciples. But it also said much people. So there's a group of people that are following Jesus after this other miracle that he did, and they make their way. Again, coming back out, that is quite a distance for Jesus to travel. Now understand what is being said here. Go back to verse 11. And let's read it for what it says. You see, a lot of times we can read into certain things. It says, and it came to pass the day after. Certainly, it was the day after. We're not going to read into that and say, well, day could mean a long period of time. No, we need to take it literally the way it says. We understand that way, that the day after, so the following day, that he went into a city called Nain. All right, the things that we need to understand are the words that are here. The word into is an interesting word. The word into is also could be translated unto or towards. It doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus got up his people early in the morning and they didn't went 25 miles in the same day. But we do know one thing, that the next day he got up and he headed towards that place. And he went unto them. How long did it take to get there? However long it took to walk, 21 to 25 miles. But the next day, he gets up and they went toward Nain. They traveled there. Some have suggested, and I don't know where they get it, that modern-day Nain is not the Nain that was there. And some would say that it's much closer. One suggested that it was only 12 miles from Capernaum. Well, that would make it a little bit more doable in one day. 25 miles would have been a pretty good trek for a group of people to make that day. You know what? The fact is, kind of like I said last week, we don't know the answers to this, but we also need to make sure and read the scriptures properly. He said that the next day they went, and they went unto or into. They traveled toward Nain and in that direction of Nain. And so they went there. And then, of course, in verse 12, now when they came nigh to the gate of the city. So however long it took them, we've got to be careful to only understand that in our box of thinking that because it was the next day, he left that day and he had to have been there that day. Well, we don't necessarily know that, but he went toward that place. And then, of course, they arrived in the city of Nain. Again, wherever Nain was. Now, I give you the place of Nain here, which is just south of Mount Tabor, which is right in here. So I just want you to understand about Nain. We don't exactly know where it was. Excuse me, not Tabor. What is this mountain here? Is that Carmel? All of a sudden it slipped my mind where that was. But let's get into Luke chapter 7 here. So now, and we don't need the map anymore, Zach, okay? So let's get into the passage. I want you to see some things that are going to be important for us to learn. I want you to picture this trip. So we have Jesus with a group of people, a large group of people, and he's traveling whether it's 12 or 25 miles, he's traveling a great distance. He's probably going to be going up somewhat from Capernaum. You almost have to go up in elevation. And he's traveling up into the foothills. There is a valley there where Nain is located, so he didn't have to go way high, depending on how they went, probably a little bit more on the coast there, the Sea of Galilee, making his way to this city. But a group of people are traveling. He goes. And then let's look at verse 12. So what do they see? Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Before we get to this son and only son of the widow, let's look at what they come upon. So Jesus is there walking, and they've walked quite a long distance, and they finally get to this place. It says they get to the gate of the city, the entrance of the city of Nain. And they get there, and what do they see as they approach the city? Well, to put it in our terms, they see a funeral procession. That's what it is. There is somebody that has died. He's in his casket. That's what the name bier is, or however you pronounce that. That's what that is. It's his casket. It's where the man, and they're carrying him. They're taking him to this place. And it says that there was a great deal of people there with them. And so it says, and much people of the city was with her. So Jesus comes upon this funeral procession as they go out to bury this dead man, which he's referred to from Jesus Christ as what kind of a man? A young man, right? Jesus himself says this young man. Now, I want you to think just for a moment. Here we have this group of people that Jesus is leading. They've traveled a long distance. Now they come, and there's another great group of people that is here, and it's part of a funeral procession. And what do we read in verse 13? When the Lord saw her, so there's this great procession, and he looks and he sees this widow, probably close to the casket as they're carrying it. Somehow Jesus was able to identify who she was. Sees her, and we read, and when the Lord saw her, he had what? Compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. We see that, obviously, he says, weep not. What was she doing? Weeping. She was crying. Obviously, it was a difficult situation. Some of you in this room have lost a loved one. Is it a sad thing? It is, of course. It's a difficult thing. I have not, I'll just be honest with you, I have not had a lot of people in my family that have died, have passed on. In fact, I still have, at least from my side of things, Melissa, of course, have had some grandparents that have passed on, but from my side, I've only had one of my grandparents pass on. I still have three of them that are around. And so I have not lost many people. I have all of my aunts and uncles and cousins and I just haven't had that happen, but some of you have. And it can be a very difficult time of struggle. And here we see this lady crying. I want you to notice, first of all, as we see here in verse 13, that Jesus felt for people going through tough times. The Bible says that he had compassion. We've looked at this word before. The word compassion is a word that's pulled out of the inner bowels of a person. Not so much as the literal bowels, but the inner seat of a person's feelings and emotions. And this word compassion does come from the word bowels. It's the inner bowels inside. And again, not to think of it again as the physical bowels, but it's the deepest part of a man that is who he is. And there's a feelings for that person and what they're feeling. It's, what he's saying is Jesus felt the same feeling that this lady was going through. And it was very real for him. I want you to see this thing that Jesus is thinking through. Now, understand this widow. Understand this lady. All right, what has this widow gone through so far? What do we know in saying that she was a widow? What had she lost already? She had lost a husband. Let me ask you, is this a difficult thing for this lady? Well, probably. Probably a difficult thing to lose your husband, to lose a spouse. She's already struggling. What else do we know about this situation? So she had lost her husband and she had lost her son. What did the scripture say about this son? He was the only son. Now you might say, well, what if this widow was well up in age and this son had lived for a long time? Well, what do we know about the son? He was still young. All of these things added up. Was this a difficult situation for this widow? We don't know how long ago she had lost her husband, but as I find out from some of you, it doesn't mean that just because it's happened years and years and years ago doesn't make it easy. It can still be a tough situation. So here we have a widow that has lost her husband. We don't know how long ago that was. Now she has lost her son, her only son that was young. This lady's struggling, isn't she? And what is his thoughts towards this lady? He had compassion. He felt, as best he could, what this lady was going through. He had compassion. His true feelings of what others are going through. Folks, I want to tell you, we need to follow this same thing. We need to try. You say, you know what? It doesn't mean, if I were to tell you tonight that I had a grandmother pass away, you know what? I think that you all would feel bad for me. I think that you would feel sorry. Sorry, Pastor, I'm sorry. But isn't it true that it's hard to feel the same emotions that somebody else is feeling? You didn't know my grandmother. You didn't know the things. There wasn't that emotional attachment. Now here's what's interesting is somehow Jesus felt that. This word is a strong word. He had compassion. This is in his bowels. He was, and we see, moved with compassion. He was disturbed with this. He was concerned about this lady. He felt what she was going through. He wanted to relate what this lady was going through. And he comes to this lady and he says, weep not. He says, lady, listen, don't cry. I'm here to help. I'm here to understand. Folks, I want to tell you, we need to, as Christians, follow Jesus. And we have said this so many times. Isn't it amazing how many times God brings it out, though? Jesus goes around feeling for people's infirmities. That's who he is. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus goes around feeling for people's infirmities, it ought to be our priority as well. You know what? Right now, we have a number of things that are going on in our church. We have people that are waiting for doctor's appointments and more procedures to come in the coming days. We have others that have scheduled appointments here even this week and what they're going through. We have others that can't make it to church because they're struggling and they have this difficulty and that. We have others that just come off of some sort of a procedure and they're trying to recover. And we have others that are close to losing a relative. And we have things that are going on here. And to tell you the truth, it's always that way. We have slower times when there's not that much, but there's always things that are going on. You see, it's very easy, though, for us to say, but I don't really know her. I don't know what they're going through, and you know what? Lord, help them. But I want to tell you, Jesus had compassion. He cared for this person. You know what? We've got to automatically assume, even as we looked at this morning, everyone's going through trials and difficulties. And we've got to care about what people are going through. You know, it's a blessing when people walk up to you and they look at you in a specific way and they say, you know, it's more than just shaking your hand. It's how are you doing, Pastor? You know what? When somebody really means it, can you tell a difference? Now, how are you doing? No, tell me really, how are you doing? And that invitation is a little bit more like you can really let them know. Well, okay, you know, what do we all say when somebody says, how are you doing? We're doing great, right? Fine. Everything's good. And we're all liars. Because that's really not the truth. Now, I understand. I'm not saying if you say that tonight that you're really lying. Everything is good, really, when we have the Lord on our side. Isn't that true? You know, it doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't take away the struggles. But you know what? We still have it very good. And we have a lot to be thankful for. So I don't think that you're lying when you say that. It is good. And we ought to have that perspective. But you know what? When you see somebody that cares and says, no, really tell me how you're doing. You know, automatically you say, you know what? That person cares about me. They read through the lines and the smiles and the faces that there are some struggles going on. And you might look at them and you say, you know, it's been tough. But God is good. You know what? It's a blessing when somebody cares that way. Jesus cared. I want you to see, and I want you to get this before I go on to the next little part of this point. We ought to care about what everyone's going through. We ought to get to find out about what other people are going through. Tell me about the situation. You know what? What's going on? What are you praying for? How is this? You know, asking somebody the next week after they ask for a request and you coming to them and saying, hey, how did that go? Means a lot to people. In fact, what does it tell them? You remembered. You thought about that. Maybe you prayed about that. Thank you very much. Showing that you care. You know, Jesus goes up to this lady. You know, he could have stood back there and he could have done all this from behind the scenes and he could have just allowed everything to happen. And he still would have been good. But he didn't. He walks up to the lady and he says, lady. And you know what he says two words? He says, weep not. But you know what he's saying? He said, listen, I'm here for you. I am here for you. As we strive together for the faith of the gospel, we must care about people's needs and what they're going through. And assume that there's probably a lot deeper than what they show. As I have told you many times, we need to be very careful not to judge people for what's going on because you have no idea what people are going through. 99% of us are going to reveal very little bit about all the struggles that we're going through. That's kind of human nature. But you can assume that people are struggling. How are you doing? No, tell me really, how are you doing? I want you to know that I'm here for you. I want you to know that I care. Now, this lady had lost a husband. She had lost a son. She's going through some difficulties. But I want to tell you something. There was an element here that I want to focus on that I think we as a church need to pay attention to. And we have a number of them in our church. This situation was addressed to a widow. Folks, I want to tell you something. Widows have a very special place in God's heart. And the church is instructed to take care of the widows. Because they're going through things that most of us don't understand. Ladies that had their husband there, and by the way, widows and widowers that are here, I don't want to make things any worse, but I want to tell you something. We ought to care for you. We ought to care for those people that have lost a loved one. And we ought to be there because, you know what, I tell you what, I don't know what it would be like to have a home and to run things and not have that husband that can fix this and do that, and they've got to do the work themselves. And they are at, in a sense, a loss. Now, they have opportunities to do things that maybe some of us can't. But I really believe that the Scriptures teach us that we ought to take care of these people. That we ought to look out for them, that we ought to make sure that their needs are met. You know what? We ought to think, when the snow comes, we ought to think about the widows in our church. Now, I'll tell you, I believe biblically that the first line of responders to a widow is their family. And I'm telling you that to make sure that you have that perspective with your parents or whatever, with your family. That the first line is the family. I really believe that God says that it's the family that ought to take care. Because if you go into other passages that speak about widows and the widows indeed, the church is supposed to kick in when what happens? When the family doesn't take care. And when the family doesn't take care, the second line of response is who? The church. Okay, so, and we praise the Lord. There are some widows that have their family that are there to help them. And I say this because there are some that don't. Every time I go visit a widow or whatever like that, and they talk about how their son or their daughter or their family is there with them, praise God that you have somebody that is helping take care of you. And by the way, if you have a widow that's in your family, you need to take care of them. You need to watch out for them. You need to make sure that they're provided for, that they aren't there struggling, hoping and wishing that somebody was there to help them. We ought to let them know that they have somebody that they can go to as a family. But I'll tell you what, if the family's not going to do it, and by the way, God's words are pretty harsh when he talks about that family that's not willing to help out with their widow or widowers. Beware, people. Don't let it happen. Don't ignore your parents. Don't ignore your grandparents. Don't let them go do the thing on their own. It's ungodly. Did I say that loud enough? I mean that. We need to take care of these people. They took care of us when we were young, and we need to take care of them. And again, I understand that there's a whole lot of thoughts with that and the end of life and what do we do and homes. And I'm not necessarily talking about all those decisions. But what I'm saying is we need to take care of those people the best that we can. We need to be there for them. It's a godly thing to do. And God says if we don't do it, it's worse than an infidel that does not take care of his family. Okay? Okay, but after that line, so let's assume that we are all going to do that. After that line, the church ought to be there. We ought to be there for these people to help them, to volunteer and say, listen, what can I do? Help. How can I help? We need to be there. And it's the church's responsibility. It's my responsibility, and it's your responsibility just as much. We've got to be there. And I appreciate when I hear that there are people right here at Faith Bible Church that are helping me do that job. You know what? I need you. And I'm glad. And I want to encourage you to do it. Please get out there and let's get together with these people that need our help. Jesus had compassion. Do we have compassion on people? And you know what? Sometimes our widows don't say anything and they're going along and you think everything's fine. But I want to tell you what, I bet you every day is tough. We've got to be there for these ladies. We've got to be there for these widowers, these men. We've got to be there for them. So I just wanted to share with you, Jesus cared about this lady. He cared about everyone. He certainly cared about this lady and what she was going through. Weep not. Here I am. Let's move on. I want you to see another point, not so much of a pathway and a way to follow, but I want you to see in verse 14, and he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Point number two is I want you to see that God can. God can do it. Folks, I want you to know that whatever you're going through, the struggles, the temptations, the loneliness, the bleak times in life, God can. God is here for you. Whether you're a widow here tonight, or whether you are just an individual with a family and you're going through difficult times, God can, and God does. And he arrives, and he comes. He said, young man, arise. God can do it. Mark chapter 10 and verse 27 tells us, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible. You know the end. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. A lot of people that are struggling, struggle. But I want you to know you have one that arrives and cares. And he says, listen, I can do it. I can take care of the situation. For this lady, Jesus showed up. And he says, listen, don't weep. I can do it. And then he looks at this casket and he says, you know, he touches it. He says, arise, young man, arise. And of course we see he did. And so understand, just a quick little point that God can. This next one is a little bit more, I enjoy this one. Look at verse 15. And he said, and he that was dead sat up. Wouldn't that have been an amazing funeral procession to be a part of? You know, you're going, you're weeping, you're making out to this place, and here this. Now remember, what was the people's response once this man was healed? Remember, I don't think that they understood that he was God. Because what did they say? What kind of a man has come from this? He says that a great prophet is risen. You see, they did not see him. And understand, let's look. You say, why didn't they understand he was God? I don't think we would have either. You know, they could have listened to the prophecies, whatever, but I don't know that we would have understood. You know, this man shows up with another group of people, and he tells this lady not to weep, and then he touches the casket and says, young man, arise. And then all of a sudden, this man sits up. What is going on? I love the words, though. Listen, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And the next phrase is what I want you to look at. And I don't know how Jesus did it, but this is what he said. This is what happened. And he delivered him to his mother. Now, there's several pronouns there. And he, who's that? Who is he there? And Jesus delivered him. Who's him? Okay, the dead young man that's now alive. Okay? And Jesus delivered this young man to his, that's the young man's mother. So here's the widow. Now, I don't know if Jesus went and picked up this young man. I don't know, but it says here that he delivered him to his mother. He delivered him. Again, I can just picture Jesus here presenting him to his mother. The word delivered is to present as a gift. Is that word? It's to present as a gift. Now, again, I'm not telling you that Jesus went and picked this young man up, but it's almost as if he did, because he delivered with a present to this lady. He comes up to her and he says, lady, I present to you your living son. My third point is for you. For you. Here he is for you. Do you realize that Jesus came for you? I want to tell you something. That is a blessing. I love that in this story. He says, here, for you. For you. What can I give for you? I want to tell you something. Whether you're a widow or a hurting person or going through trials or struggles today, God is here and he can do it, but he has, and he presents to you himself. He says, for you. And he's not delivering a young man that was dead. He's delivering himself as a living God that can do the impossible. He says, for you, to you, for you. What a blessing. What a blessing he is there to deliver. This is the good God that we have, folks. God wants to give you the very best. And I'll tell you, sometimes we confuse that. Difficulties, time, and like this morning, we say, why? And you know what God says? For you. It's the best that I can give you. Every day of our lives is the best that God can give. We've got to get to that Joseph mentality that God is good in everything that he does. In this case, for this lady, this widow, it must have been such a blessing. She had just lost her husband, or had lost her husband. She had lost her son, her only son, her young son. And here he comes up and he presents him, lady, for you. What an encouragement. I want you to see here in closing, verse 16, though. Point number 4. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us. Now that's a little like, okay, they didn't quite get it, but I love what they said here in the end. And that God hath visited his people. They didn't understand that the visit was God himself. But it was almost as if they were being prophets themselves without knowing. Do you really know what they were saying? They were living out a name that we use a lot of times at Christmas. Emmanuel. And I don't think they really knew what they were saying. You know what they were saying to each other? They said, you know, God has just given himself to us. God has just given himself to us. And they had no idea that literally he had in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. The word visit is to look upon in order to help. That God hath looked upon us in order to help, to benefit, to care for, to provide for. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. And these people recognized, no, I don't think they recognized Jesus as Emmanuel, but they recognized God has met with us. God has made himself available to us to give and to deliver gifts to us. Folks, can I tell you that God has arrived to gift you? Jesus has come. We've just gone through the Christmas season as we celebrate his birth. Jesus has arrived to gift you. But it's not just a Christmas thing. It's not just something that we sing about and read about at Christmas time. Folks, this was probably not at Christmas time. This is any time. God has arrived to help you in everything. God with you. God has gifted you. And our attitude ought to be the same. Now get this as we close. Our attitude of compassion, our attitude of help, our attitude of as God is as the one that can, our attitude of gifting as and as for you, our attitude that God has given to us ought to be now here, because you haven't been focusing on this, but in conclusion, our attitude ought to be the same to other people. Not that we are the gift to those that we need to help. You know, if Dan is going through something and, you know, it would be inappropriate for me to show up and say, for you, here I am. But I want to tell you that attitude of, here I am, for you, with God's help and whatever I can do. You know what? That someone would say, wow, God has shown up. Not in the person, but thank you, God, for that help. And you know what? There are probably people that are just waiting for somebody to show up at their door saying, listen, I'm here. I'm here to talk. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to be an encouragement to you. A card to arrive and say, someone cares. Folks, this is something that we all need to work on. It's something that I need to work on. We need to get out of ourselves. And we need to look at where people are at. You see, Jesus had a mission. You say, he was out to share the world about himself. That Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And yet he finds time to show up and come upon a funeral procession. And heal a widow's son and raise him from the dead. I want to tell you something. That is ministry right there. Meeting people's needs. And it would be good for us at Faith Bible Church to make sure that we are doing our best to make sure that we're meeting people's needs. For every one of us, myself included, we need to be available to meet people's needs. Father, would you help us to be this kind of an individual? Would you help us to be this church? God, would you help us to maybe have to say no to certain things that we want to do, but to get out and to try to be a blessing to people? A phone call, a text, a note, a letter, a greeting card of some sort, a thank you note, something, maybe a visit, any blessing that we can be. God, would you help us to get around and to meet people's needs? Lord, would you please help? We need you. Thank you for the good example that you have given to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, the compassion that he had, the ability that he had, the gift that he had. God, help us to be this kind of an individual as well. Lord, thank you that you have come to help us. May we also be available to help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.